Good to see each and every one of you tonight. We are going to wrap up parables tonight. We'll hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be going to Ephesians come Sunday morning. Doug and Jonathan, and like I said, it kind of depends on Doug, I guess, if he has to leave town. Also, after that, we'll be doing Ephesians, Philippians, than Colossians. And if y'all have any suggestion what you would like to teach or I be taught in the auditorium class, please let one of the elders know and we'll look at that. But I have enjoyed the studies of parables. It's been to me a good thing for having a group of them together that way. Tonight we're going to be studying the last one. It's going to be the parables of the sheep and the goats, which is found in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations shall be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, My brethren, you did it to Me." Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me." Then they also will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." All right. He begins this parable. He's talking about, he says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory. So, when is that going to happen? Day of Judgment. This is the end of time. This is what a parable he's going to be talking about at the end of the judgment that's going to come to everybody. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. So when Christ comes, we're going to see His glory. And He won't be alone. He'll have all His holy angels with Him. And He will be sitting on His throne. We will get to see Christ on His throne, the King. All the nations will be gathered before Him. That's everybody. You think about that. All nations will be gathered there before the King, Christ. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. right? There's going to be a separation here. There's going to be one on the left-hand side and one on the right-hand side. A fundamental truth revealed in the gospel of Christ is that on the day of judgment, Christ will act as judge. And on the day of judgment, the works of all men will be judged, whether Christian or non-Christian. That's what he's talking about. All nations are come. Everybody will be judged. And Christ, the King, will be the one that's going to judge. Now, he talks about the sheep and the goat. And people, I don't know much about sheep and I don't know much about goats. But I have kind of read and studied a little bit. And I'm going to enlighten you something about this. These are sheep. The sheep of the Bible can be pictured as generally cream color, deep wool, and have curled horns. Okay. The most common bread in Palestine today, and probably also in the ancient time, is the fat tail, known in Egypt by 2000 B.C. These have quantities of reserved fat stored in their tails, which by themselves weighs 11, 15, and 30 pounds. Okay, think about that. In biblical times, the tending of flocks together with agriculture was basic to the economy in Palestine. Although sheep were also used for food, they were raised principally for wool production. Wool was used in various ways, for example, woolen garments. Sheepskins were also used as clothing and for a variety of other purposes. Sheep's horns served as containers for wool and also as musical instruments. From sheep's bones were made needles, scrapers, lance, and arrowheads. From the hides came clothing, curtains, and leather, which was sometimes used to be ride on. The sheep's gentleness and loyalty made it a common household pet. This is a sheep. Now the goats. These are goats. Domestic goats differ greatly among themselves in the color and length of the hair, in the size and shape of the ears, and in the size and shape of their horns, which are usually larger in the males, but in some breeds may be absent in both sexes. A very common feature in both wild and domestic goats is that the males have beards, as you can see on that one. The goats of Palestine and Syria are usually black, though sometimes partly or entirely white or brown, like the ones in the example there. Their hair is usually long, hanging down from their bodies. The horns are commonly curved outward and backwards. They are herded in the largest numbers in the mountainous and hilly districts, and vie with in the wild in climbing and to apparently inaccessible places. They like to climb. They feed not only on herds, but also on shrubs and small trees to which they are very destructive. They reach up to the trees to the height of a man, holding himself nearly or quite erect, and even walk out on low branches. Their flesh is valuable for food and available when neither mutton or beef can be found. Their milk is drunk or made into cheese and a clarified butter much used in cooking. Their hair is woven into tents, carpet, cloaks, sacks, slings, and various camel, horse, and mule trappings. Their skins are made into bottles for water, oil, and other liquids. Okay. There's a short thing about sheep and goats. Now, the question is, what do you know about sheep and goats from the Bible? That's the important thing. Does anybody? Do what? Okay. Okay. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Goats were also. But lambs are too. Yeah. Okay. Okay. You have to understand now who he's addressing to. And I think when he is telling this story, this parable to them, they probably will understand it better than you and I, since they are very acquainted in this particular time with goats and sheep. And apparently they know more about it than you guys do, I tell you. How about sheep when they're together? You know anything about that? Okay. How? They what? They stay together. The sheep will not really want to get away from the other sheep. They really don't. They like to stay together with that way. And they usually have a shepherd. And what's the purpose of the shepherd? Do what?
Guard the flock.
What else? Okay. You hit the one on the pillow. He leads them. What we know about sheep and shepherd, the relationship? They know his voice. If I was to go out there and you had a shepherd out there, you think they would follow me? No. They're not acquainted with my voice. They know who the shepherd is. They know the shepherd's there basically for their benefit. And they listen or follow him. Lambs are followers, not leaders. Okay. Now, what do you know about goats? Anything? A lot of people are raising goats nowadays. I know they are very independent, right? Anything else? You guys don't know anything about sheep and goats, do you? You go down the Pigeon Forge, you find goats on the roof. And there are goats on the roof. That's it. They're really kind of destructive. They eat a lot, not too much on the grass. Like the sheep really do eat the grass and things, but the goats really like the shrubs and the trees, and they will just clean it out. They will decimate it. They will destroy it, more or less, because they can climb up to them to get the low branches, or they, like I said, they will go out. All right. What does a goat herder do?
Best he can.
Huh?
The best
he can. Goats do not follow goat herders. Goat herders follow goats. If you don't know that, that's a big difference there. Goat herders are very independent. And I think you'll see why he's using these parallels with it. And back then, they would sometimes have the goats and the sheep together. And a shepherd would know how to separate the goats and the sheep out with it. And you don't, most of the time, you don't want your sheep and goats together. Here's another fact. I'll tell you a couple of two facts here I found out. If you got horses and you put goats in the field, the goats will eat the horse's tail. And I did not know that. So here's the true little fact. And another thing, if you want to raise goats, you better have a fence that'll hold water, because otherwise they'll get out. They get out of anything. Against where you had the sheep that will lead or follow, I mean, will follow the shepherd, the leader, where a goat will not. The goats are the ones that lead the goat herd. So that's a little bit, a tidbit about what he's talking about. So when he tells them at the very beginning, let's go here. He will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Wait a minute, this is left. I'm left-handed, people. The right hand was often seen as a figure of strength, approval, and acceptance, while the left hand was a figure of weakness, rejection, and disapproval. This was a general view throughout ancient history. Jesus' use of sheep to represent the righteous and goat to represent the wicked probably does not reflect a higher evaluation of sheep over goats. I don't think that's the reason why this is talking about. Both were set before burnt offerings. If you look at it, Leviticus 1:10, you can use goat or a sheep. Both were acceptable gifts to set before kings. It is true, however, that sheep are used in the Old Testament to represent God's people. Have you ever heard talk about God's goats? No. You always talk about his sheep, the good shepherd, and his flock, and elders or bishop, shepherds over the flock. That says now, these people are beginning, as he begins to understand this, he understands when he used the phrase, the right hand, the sheep, they called on what the sheep was on the right hand. They were the righteous one. They've dealt with sheep and they dealt with goats. Those on the left-hand side, they understand what left and right is. When he says the left hand, that's an inferior, or one of them talking about here, disapproved. That's the reason the goats are on this side. So he began to tell them this parable and the story and what he's going to be talking about, what they do. One of them is approved by their actions, and the other ones are disapproved by their actions too, or by their characters. Why, not really that they're really abuse or thing, what they don't do and what they do do. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Then the king, Christ, will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There are already in the kingdom, he said, we're talking about you inherit the kingdom. You will get the promise of the inheritance here of the eternal inheritance. That which is inheritance, which is incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. That's what they are. The sheep, the ones on the right, they are blessed by the Father because they are. They listen to the Father. They listen to the shepherd. They obey him. They follow him. And so, that's the reason they are the ones that are going to inherit eternal life in heaven. And he says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. He lists all these. What are all these things? Hungry, food, water, shepherd, I mean clothing, shelter. Care and loving for strangers is the essence of a hospitable spirit. Care for others, as James will later teach, is simple, a part of pure and undefiled religion. We are not hence to conclude that good works alone can secure to us everlasting life. We must first be his sheep. And to be his sheep, you have to obey him, you have to follow him. Now, there's good people out in the world. We know that. You see them every day. But they're not his sheep. They do care about people. But they do not understand the obedience that they need to. They have not obeyed his word, his teaching on salvation. For you to inherit this, you have to be a sheep. One of the characteristics of that is to follow the shepherd. And they have not done it. And he continually says, then the righteous will answer him saying, note here, those on the right are referred to as righteous. These sheep, those on the right-hand side. These are righteous. Well, why? They're asking this question here. Lord, you're calling us righteous. Well, why? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty or gave you drink? I don't remember seeing you as a stranger and taking you in. I don't remember seeing you naked and I had clothed you. Are you being sick in prison? I don't remember this, that I did this. Well, I don't think so. So they're asking him, you call him as righteous here, but we didn't do anything. Then he tells them. And the king will answer and say to them, surely, most assured, this is true. This is a true statement. I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Now, okay, Rose.
Well, what strikes me about this is, are these are not difficult things to do?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. It isn't. All right. He tells them, it says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. Who is the least brethren? Who is that? If you don't know, how do you know if you're going to help them or not? All right. Now, we've been studying parables. All right? Let's go back. Who did Jesus teach a lot to? Who obeyed him, huh? All right. He went to the Jews. But did the elders, chief priests, scribes, who listened to him?
Mm-hmm.
Ones that these people would not associate with. He's bringing it to conclusion, saying, look here, people, who is my least of my brethren? You just think about that. Are you a least brother? If you're in need, if you're one of these. Who did he eat with? Well, he ate with harlots, tax collectors, sinners. And that's what he was complaining about. They complained about who he was eating with. Who did he come with? Who does the physician need? Those that need healing. And he says, if you will take care of them, if you took care of them, then you took care of me and your service. We are to prepare for his final coming by serving the Jesus who is present in the needy least ones. Service to others is to be viewed as service to God. You just think about that. When you're helping somebody, you're aiding somebody, you have that character about it, you want to help them out, you're helping Jesus. That's what he's telling you. If you're helping my brother that's in need, then you're taking care of me. And what did he say he was going to do? Then he said, what my blessed Father said, you will inherit the promises of eternal life in heaven. For eternity. Think about that. Forever and ever and ever. In heaven and the present. We will see Christ upon his king, upon his throne with his holy angel in the day of judgment. Now, we hope for the most part we're looking for that day. Now, most of the world, think about it, will dread that day when he comes. Because, verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, those goats, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire to prepare for the devils and his angels. The punishment of the wicked involves separation. He tells them, you depart from me. Think about this. When you depart from Jesus for an eternity, what is it going to be like? Well, we know one thing. It's going to be dark. And you're going to be gnashing of teeth. And it's going to be horrible. Because the punishment of the wicked will involve everlasting pain. Into the everlasting fire. Now, how many of you want to burn yourself? I don't think anybody does. But you have an everlasting pain of fire for eternity. The punishment of the wicked will involve association with the devil and his angel. He said, I'm filling this place, preparing it for devil and his angels, and you're going to be with him forever and ever. You're serving him now on this earth, then you're going to be with him in eternity. That's what he's telling them. He's telling these people on the left hand, those goats, what's going to happen to them. Well, the other one he already told, the righteous ones. There's this heaven. Yours is an eternal fire. He says, so now, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. He went through the whole thing. Again, but you didn't give me anything. You didn't help me out. We may note that the deeds of those of the lower's left were not acts of wickedness. They had simply failed to act. In this, there is a striking similarity to the behavior of the one talent man. Remember that? The parable? He had one talent. What did he do with his one talent? That sum of money he went and hid. Did do nothing. And that's what he's talking about here. You are not doing... They're not abusing these people. He said, these least of my brother. You're not hurting them or anything. You're not going up and striking them or anything like that. But you're not doing anything for them. Nothing. In this text, sin is the failure to act upon the good that one knows to do. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, how much plainer can you get than that? If you know to do good and you don't do it. Just like that one with the talent. He knew the master. The other two knew him too. They knew what a hard man he was. That he reaped where he didn't sow. He knew how he was. And the other two, well, I'm going to learn from him. I'm going to go out here and do this. But he was afraid. And he didn't do it. And we know those cowardly people, they're going to be in the lake of fire. Pure and simple. They will also answer him saying, no, Lord, when did we see you this? Well, I don't ever seen you doing that. If I knew you were there, I would have done it, Lord. I just tell you that. That's what they're saying. Just as service to others may be seen as a service to the Lord, failure to serve others is a failure to serve the Lord. That's what he's telling you now. He's telling us we need to be serving the Lord. And the way you do it is by helping your fellow man. Pure and simple. Because if you are serving them and taking care of them, then you're taking care of me. Because that's my child. That's my sheep. You're taking care of it. That's your responsibility. That is your character. The other one's character is, I don't have nothing to do with them. That's the way the scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priests. They did not want to have associated with them. They didn't want to do anything with them. Just leave them alone. You stay on your side, and I'll stay on my side. He said, don't be that way. Jesus died for the poorest, most wretched of men, just as he died for all. All human beings are souls created in the image of God. to fail to act with love and care to those for whom Christ died will be viewed in the end as a failure to show love and care for him, for the king, for the judge. If you don't do it, then you're not showing love for Jesus. It's a waste of time. If you love me, you will listen to me, you will obey me, my wills, my commandments, my laws. And he's telling you, you take care of the least of my brothers here. You understand? You do that, then you will be serving me. When you're doing that, you're doing it to me also. Excuse me. All right. My conclusion. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous and eternal life. Eternity offer human beings only two destinies described here by Jesus. Heaven awaits those who manifest an active and obedient faith. Hell menacing looms for those who do not. As we always say, or seems like I always say, is you got two masters to serve. You're going to either serve the Lord or you're going to serve the devil. There's nobody else. One or the other. It's up to you to make that choice. The things he's talking about here are individual. Not for us. We do some things here as a group. But he's talking about here, except for he is you an individual. What are you doing? Now, it's the choice of you. You can serve me or you can serve the devil. Now, let me tell you, here's what's going to happen. As there are only two you can serve, there's only two destinations you can go. If you serve me and do what I will, my will, like I have just told you, then you can have an eternity in heaven with me, with Christ, the holy angels, the prophets, the apostles. You get to be there with them. And if you don't, then your choice is an everlasting fire, and you're going to be with the devil, and his angels, and the majority of this world. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people in this world I don't want to be with. I wouldn't want to spend eternity with. And the devil is one of them I do not want to spend eternity with. But the choice is mine, and the choice is yours. Thank you.